How did we lose our natural ability to connect? Lions, fish, and birds, they don't get disconnected. The animal, vegetable, and mineral worlds are always connected to their source. They don't question their intention. We humans, however, with our capability for presumably higher brain functions, have something we refer to as ego, which is an idea that we construct about who and what we are. Ego is made of six primary ingredients that account for how we experience ourselves as disconnected. By allowing ego to determine your life path, you deactivate the power of intention. Briefly, here are the six ego beliefs. I've written more extensively about them in several of my previous books, most notably, Your Sacred Self. 1. I am what I have. That is, my possessions define me. 2. I am what I do. That is, my achievements define me. 3. I am what others think of me. That is, my reputation defines me. 4. I am separate from everyone. That is, my body defines me as alone. 5. I am separate from all that is missing in my life. That is, my life space is disconnected from my desires. 6. I am separate from God. My life depends on God's assessment of my worthiness. No matter how hard you try, intention can't be accessed through the ego. So take some time to recognize and readjust any or all of those six beliefs. When the supremacy of ego is weakened in your life, you can seek intention and maximize your potential. There are 4 steps to intention. Activating your power of intention is a process of connecting with your natural self and letting go of total ego identification. The process takes place in the following 4 stages. 1. Discipline. This is the first stage. Learning a new task requires training your body to perform as your thoughts desire. So, eliminating ego identification doesn't mean disconnecting from your relationship with your body, but rather training your body to activate those desires. You do that with practice, exercise, non-toxic habits, healthy foods, and so on. 2. Wisdom is the second stage. Wisdom, combined with discipline, fosters your ability to focus and be patient as you harmonize your thoughts, your intellect, and your feelings with the work of your body. We send our children off to school telling them, be disciplined and use your head. And then we call this an education, but it falls far short of mastery. 3. The third stage is love. After disciplining the body with wisdom and intellectually studying a task, this process of mastery involves loving what you do and doing what you love. In the world of sales, I call it falling in love with what you're offering and then selling your love or enthusiasm to potential customers. When learning to play tennis, it involves practicing all of the strokes while studying strategies for playing the game. It also involves enjoying the feeling of hitting the ball and being on the tennis court and everything else about the game. And the final stage, 4, surrender. This is the place of intention. This is where your body and your mind aren't running the show. And you move into intent. You relax. You allow yourself to be carried by the same power that turns acorns into trees, blossoms into apples, and microscopic dots into human beings. When you surrender, you lighten up and can consult with your infinite soul. Then the power of intention becomes available to take you wherever you feel destined to go. All of this talk of intention and surrender may cause you to question where your free will fits in. You might be inclined to conclude that free will is non-existent or that you become whatever your program dictates. So let's just take a look at your will and how it fits into this new view of intention. As you listen to the next 2 sections, please keep an open mind, even if what you hear conflicts with what you've believed all of your life. Intention and your free will are paradoxical. A paradox is seemingly absurd or a contradictory statement, even if well-founded. Intention and free will certainly qualify as being paradoxical. They conflict with many a preconceived notion of what's reasonable or possible. How can you possess free will and also have intention shaping your body and your potential? You confuse this dichotomy by choosing to believe in the infinity of intention and in your capacity to exercise free will. You know how to think rationally about the rules of cause and effect, so try your intellect out on this. Obviously, it's impossible to have 2 infinites, for then neither would be infinite. Each would be limited by the other. You can't divide infinite into parts. Essentially, infinite is unity, continuity, or oneness, like the air in your home. where does the air in your kitchen stop and the air in your living room begin?